seated? Really nervous, actually. I don't know why, because I'm just amongst people who are just like me in this room. And, it was nice to come in and get the hugs and be welcomed by some of the committee members. And I felt a little bit more relaxed about that. So I suppose I'll just, 15 minutes, so I'll share about my experience in recovery so far. You know, I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I couldn't stop using, you know. I didn't have a clue about the disease of addiction and what it entailed. I didn't know anything about it. I just simply could not stop using, you know. I've got children, and I use with my partner. We used for quite some time, and you know, kids were taken into care. I was going into jail very frequently, you know, and I just didn't know that there was a solution to what I suffered from. Didn't know that, you know. I'd heard about NA a few times in prison, but, you know, I mean, going to a meeting when you're on association, it just didn't really match up. I thought, no way am I spending my time in a meeting, you know. This is my time to run around and see if I can get as much as I can get before I get locked up again, you know. That was my attitude. You know, and my partner actually came to NA before me, and she came to visit me one day, and I hardly recognised her. I hadn't seen her for nearly 9 months, and I hardly recognised her. And she told me that she had been coming to Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And there was a few relapses, and I went into treatment, and when I was in treatment, I really thought I had it sussed, you know, I really did. You know, I went to treatment, and I was really good at challenging people in the treatment centre. You know, and while I was doing all this challenging, and I was being, you know, supported by my counsellors as well, I was under the belief that I'm actually getting better, you know. And I came out, and I relapsed, you know. And when I relapsed, I was taken by a member to a meeting outside. It was a treatment town I was in. I was taken to a meeting outside that treatment town, slightly outside, and he said, Aaron, maybe you should just kind of listen, you know, because you like to talk, you know. Maybe just this meeting, just this one meeting, just listen, you know. And for the first time, my ears were open. I had my family at home, you know, and my partner didn't know that I had relapsed, you know, so I was on the phone to her every week saying how recovered I am, you know. So she didn't know that I had relapsed, and I had no other resources left. I had nothing left, you know. So here I am, I'm inside this meeting, and I listened to his suggestion of maybe just listening, and I just listened, and that group, I heard something. There was something in that room that I heard, you know, and I actually got a little bit of hope and started thinking, well, maybe I can do this. You know, because I tried, you know, while I was in the treatment centre, we go out to meetings and we started getting a little bit involved in on the edge. And my idea was that I'm gonna come here, I'm going to do these 12 steps, and then I'm going to go off and create this life for myself. I had no idea that this was a way of life, you know. I had no idea that after I'd written out these steps, I'd have to learn to live them. I didn't know that. I didn't know that kind of stuff. So anyway, this group, you know, I thought they were really kind of harsh, to be honest. You know, within a week they had me out doing service, you know, and trying to get me to help other people. And while this is going on, I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm doing all of this, but when am I going to get the help? When am I going to get the help? They got me involved in public information, and I'm walking around the West Country, you know, handing out, you know, have you got a drug problem, leaflets into doctors, into different surgeries, and this kind of thing. And I'm embarrassed. I'm thinking, say, you know, someone might see me. Even though I'm a Londoner and I don't know one, know no one from up there, I'm worried that someone might see me, you know. And I'm doing all this stuff, man, and I just wasn't really getting it, you know. Now in hindsight, they were helping me. Because during that time, with me doing all this stuff, and they got me making tea as well, I couldn't see what that's anything to do with staying clean, but they got me making tea at what became my home group. While this was going on, these few weeks, the obsession to use left me. It left me, you know what I mean? And I can honestly say it hasn't returned. I've had using thoughts since then, and some of them quite strong, you know, using thoughts, you know, and dreams and all other stuff, but I've never had that obsession where I cannot get it out of my head. I don't know if anyone can relate to that in that room, but that obsession, you know, where I need to have something. you know, and I haven't had it since then, you know. So I worked through the 12 steps because I started to get this hope. The obsession's lifted, and it seems like everything they're telling me to do, things are starting to work now. You know, I've started to feel a little bit more healthy. You know what I mean? I've got a little bit, you know, a few new clothes, and you know what I mean? And things are going all right. And I'm in Western Supermare, and I feel safe in Western Supermare. You know, I really felt safe there. So my partner's at home, and she's doing the same thing. But she's got children and responsibilities, and she's like, Aaron, when are you coming home? And I'm thinking, well, I don't know if I'm coming home, because I don't want to use. Do you know what I mean? And my sponsor said to me, Aaron, when you get on that train, you know, and back with your family, do you believe that the 12 steps are going to stop working in your life? And he said, Aaron, it's your responsibility to practice these principles and practice the stuff that you've learned. You can take this stuff and do it anywhere. And he said, I think I've got a good idea that there might be some meetings in London as well. So I went up to London, and when I got there, I visited loads of meetings, and I joined a group in South London. You know, it was a really good group, and it really, really helped me. You know, but every Tuesday I had to go all the way to South London, you know. And I heard a share, and I heard people, you know, and someone shared, and he said that, you know, if you don't like the situation, then get a kettle and get a preamble, you know. And there was a few other people that had come from Essex, you know, and they were kind of floating about and trying to find their home in London. And what we decided to do, we decided to start a meeting, you know. So we started a meeting in Stratford, and the meeting's still going up to today. And that's my home group. It's on a Monday. Happy Mondays on a Monday. So that's my home group there. And I've kind of learned a lot by being a part of that group as well, you know. I'm really proud, you know. I've seen people come into that meeting broken, you know, come to a few more meetings, get sponsors, work steps, and start sponsoring other people. I've seen that stuff right in front of my eyes, you know. It kind of blows me away. You know, there was a guy that's in the room today that stumbled over us on Monday. You know, he came in the building for something else, and he was directed upstairs. You know, and he wasn't in a good way. And since that day, he's done a meeting every single day. And I spoke to him on the way up here, and he said to me, he's 3 days clean. You know, and he's here today. But I'm not going to embarrass him. Right, but he's here today. He's here today. Do you know what I mean? And when I see that kind of thing happen, it kind of lights that recovery light in my heart, and it makes me want to carry on and do more and do more and do more, you know? And, you know, I felt a little bit distant from my sponsor in Western Supermare. You know, it's just the way things worked out, you know? And I got another sponsor here in London, you know? And we got involved in doing lots of things that really helped and supported my recovery. Like, we started to do book studies and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And we've taken them book studies mm-hmm. around as well, and shared different type of things we've found out, and we've learned different stuff, you know? You know, my first book that I ever got, now the basic text I'm talking about, the first book that I ever got was actually in a crack house, you know? And it was given to me by a guy called Claude, you know? And he signed it for me as well. And Claude taught me a really, really good lesson. He really did, you know, because, you know, me and my partner, we were smoking, and all of a sudden he decided to get the basic text out and start talking. You know what them type of people, when they smoke, they just talk. You know, I like silence. Complete silence, you know. But he just talks and talks and talks and talks. You know, and Claude is one of these people that just, you know, never ever got any gear, just used to wait for people to come around, and when yours is finished, he wants you out. That type of person. Anyway, that's nothing to do with it. Anyway, you got this book, and he started going on about the chapters in the book, and I'd be lying if I say I can remember the chapters he was talking about, but he was talking about this chapter and that chapter and this line and that line and the 12 steps and all of that. And he said, oh, I've got 5 minutes already. And he said to me, take this book with you, it could save your life. Right? He was smoking crack when he done that. And the lesson I learnt then, I could know what's on page 75, I can know all the chapters, I can know the book back to front. but there's suggestions and there's directions in that book, you know? And it's a suggested program of recovery, but there's also must in that book and must nots in that book, you know? And that's what we look for in my sponsorship family. We go and we look for that kind of stuff. And he showed me it doesn't matter what you know, it's about what you do. It's about what you do, you know? So, you know, and I've still got that basic text. Still got that basic text. Now, and tons of things have happened since I've been here. You know, things in my family have changed dramatically, you know. I'm into music, you know, and my mum had a big court case going on and she won the court case. Cut a long story short, she gave money to all of her children, asked what we wanted to do with our lives and gave us money to help support that, you know. And what I like music, you know, so I've got loads of music equipment. And the day I knew that I gave my mum back her peace of mind was what I did. Every piece of equipment I got, I saved the receipt. And I had a pile of receipts from all the different equipment. And when I finished everything, I posted it to her. And she called me back about a day later and said to me, "What are you sending me all this for?" And I knew at that moment I'd give my mum back her peace of mind. I knew it. You know what I mean? You know, I've had some amazing stuff happen over here, you know, since I've been in Narcotics Anonymous. But it's a daily program and I've had to work. I've had to work for it, you know. You know, I thought I'd be in a recording studio somewhere. The reading this morning was God laughs at our plans, you know. I thought I'd be in a recording studio somewhere. I've spent the summer working for my mother-in-law and her business, looking after her business in Turkey, you know. And this is a woman that said, "Get away from my daughter. Get away. I'll pay you to leave her alone," you know. And now I'm working with her, you know, in another country. And while I was out there, it was kind of tough. I'd done meetings while I was out there, but because of the language barrier, if I never had a translator in the meeting, which slowed things down anyway, I'd just have to sit there. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I read the text, but I was willing still to go. Do you know what I mean? And I spoke to my sponsor, and maybe he picked up on that. And he said to me, "Every Friday, come on Skype, you know, starting from this Friday." So I went on Skype the first Friday, and there was my sponsor, there was my sponsees, there was other people as well. And every Friday after that, we had a meeting. You know, I mean, every single Friday for months I was out there and we had a meeting every Friday. It's the kind of love and support that I found there, you know. And it hasn't all been sweet sailing. Like, I've had some stuff happen in recovery that's been tough to deal with. You know, me and my partner had an ectopic pregnancy. You know what I mean? And we lost a child, you know, in recovery. And I remember the night when I found out about that and I went home and put the boys to bed and it came on me, you know what I mean? And I strongly thought about using, you know, and I had nothing else. I got on my knees and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed until the obsession was lifted. I prayed, you know, in the same way like I prayed when I was asking God, "Please help me. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I can't stop using." It was that kind of heart, kind of felt kind of prayer, you know. And we managed to get through it. You know, and this morning I was woken up by my daughter, who's one, you know what I mean, saying, "Dad, Dad," you know what I mean. So we got our little girl, you know what I mean. We got our little girl, you know, and, you know, in the short time I've been here, I've had lots of material and lots of good stuff, you know, but seeing her being born was probably one of the most priceless moments, you know, teaching my son how to ride his bike and watch the light come on in his eyes once he finally realised that he could do it and look at me, you know, priceless moments, because I could never do that. They were all in care, you know. What addiction done, it's tore my family apart completely. None of us resided in the same place. All of us were completely split up. And what recovery's done is brought us all back together. You know? I'm really, really passionate about what we do here. Very passionate, you know, and I really want to stay involved. I think my time might be up now. Thanks for listening to me. I'll leave it there.